I've got Luke Gossett Jr. with me. He's lip syncing to this song. He's doing pretty good, too, by the way. I thought that was you singing, Luke. We're going to be back with him in a moment. Talk more about his life, talk about his foundation, and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Luke Gossett Jr. with us, an actor and a gentleman. That's his new work there, too. Luke, let me ask you something. The acting that you've done, you're still getting roles. I went on IMDb today, and you've got movie roles coming up this year. You don't stop, do you?
Well, it's not work. It's better than work. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure
that they happen to be pay of you service, for.
And they have to pay me for something that God gave me a gift to do. It's incredible. So this month, the 16th, 17th, and 18th is a 6-hour miniseries called The Book of Negroes.
Good for you.
And it's outstanding. I've never seen anything that good.
Now, how do you feel about that name? I haven't used that word in 30 years.
Well, the definition of the Book of Negroes is a book that this woman, Aminata Diallo, had to write to get the British to know where every black person was in anticipation of fighting against the Americans in the Revolutionary War.
Uh-huh.
They had to know where everybody was, because once they won the war, they would be given their freedom. And that's called the Book of Negroes. So that time, the using of that title is proper. I also had that same resentment or rejection a little bit until I opened the page, and it's called Condemnation Without, I forgot what it's called, but when you open it up and you change your mind, I was enraptured by the book. And of course, then they asked me to do a part, and so now that world was amazing.
How'd you like the role?
Oh, the role was incredible. He was Moses. He leads them to the promised land. But the charm of that movie was the producers came from South Africa, black, white, and colored, and Indian, and Great Britain, black and white, Caribbean, Canada, and the United States. And they all worked together to do this piece of gold, which was wonderful, out of Jamaica and everybody, and international cast. So on my last day, I said, you guys don't know what you're doing. They looked at me questioningly. I said, all of you guys have made peace to concentrate on this one thing, and you've done it in peace, and you made a piece of gold. I wish that what you're doing here would spread around the world. And they looked at each other and kind of applauded. So there's no such thing as impossible there.
When you go out, do young people recognize you still?
Now? Thank God for reruns. Yeah, because now it's an amazing process. I have a lady, we travel, and says, the witness, they come out of the woodwork. I just did the Martin Luther King Day parade, and people of all colors and all ages and of all persuasions came to shake my hand and take selfies everywhere in airports. It's a wonderful thing to be of service to people and have them enjoy what you do.
Sure.
It's really nice.
We get the emails, since people knew you were going to be on the program, emails from people. Somebody saw you in the parade, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
And took his picture in front of, I guess, were you in a car going by?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Took a picture of him with you in the background.
That's good. There's a lot of pictures.
They love that stuff. Yeah. Let's take some calls. You ready?
Okay.
Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Welcome to the program, Mike. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hey, George, thank you very much. Mr. Gossett, it's been a pleasure to watch you in movies and TV series. I have two questions. I'll make them quick because I know you got a lot of callers waiting. The first question is, when you played ball at NYU, did you play with a gentleman by the name of Tom Sanders?
Absolutely.
And
Satch?
Satch.
You went to the Celtics, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a basketball junkie. I'm 60 years old. And my second question is...
And Cal Ramsey and Happy Hairston from the Lakers.
Really? Did he go to NYU also?
Yeah, we're the same team, yeah.
I remember had the pleasure to see both of them play in person. My second question is, the TV series Extent, is that going to be back on CBS?
Yeah, they start in a couple of weeks. My episode doesn't start until March.
Oh, good. You're going to be back on the show playing the father.
Playing the father. You know, that's luck, huh? Playing Halle Berry's father.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
what a tough assignment.
It's a tough sign. Somebody's got to do it, though, you know.
Somebody's got to do it. And the third question is, do you still work out on a regular basis?
I work out a little bit internally and externally. I've taken off close to 66 pounds now in the last 2 years. I've turned my habits around and beat the cancer.
Good for you.
And so I'm going from 278 now to 215. I have incentive with a nice lady in my life, and I pay attention to what I put in my mouth. It has to be organic. It has to be, if it's a chicken or fish, it can't come from a fish farm. It can't come from a place where they put steroids or growth hormones in it. It has to be organic. Everything seems to make my appetite slower and lower. Something's happening that's magic, and I can recommend that to others, to make sure that what you put in your body is good for you. And there's combinations, and you can put in smoothies, and slowly but surely your stomach gets shrinks and your desire gets less. You start eating little things instead of big meals. Your energy comes back. And of course, you got to do a lot of praying and meditating to see what the message is.
You've talked about God, Lewis. You're pretty spiritual now.
Well, he's in charge. He has been in charge all along. Sometimes I forgot.
Well, we all have.
Yes. Some people might call him Allah. It doesn't matter. It's the same positive force that we have to pay attention
That's
to.
That's right. That's
whatever it is.
True. Yeah. How do you feel? You know, you don't get too involved politically.
No.
But how do you feel about what's going on around this planet right now?
Well, we're coming to this is Armageddon. This is predicted. It's not the negative Armageddon that we think, where everybody's going to kill each other, but people are trying. It's the last vestiges of saying we are important too. There's been a mentality. We're a young country here in America. In comparison to the other cultures, we're about 15 years old. We happen to be very strong and very powerful, but we're still going through growing pains. We have automatic assumption of superiority. Either you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're left or right, up or down. And we really cannot survive without our equal contribution to the great, I call it the great American soup. It doesn't taste half as good without the equal contribution of every ethnic group in this country. And so I'm trying to subtly change the title of an African-American to an American-African. So we are already free, but we don't know what that is.
Good. Favorite Hollywood actor, who would that be?
Favorite Hollywood actor? Well, first of all, just start with Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
Then we can go from there. I think Brad Pitt is incredible. I think Clint Eastwood is a genius. I love what I see. I like so many of them I like.
Do you go to movies a lot, or do you watch them at home?
Well, it's hard to get a flash bulb in your face in a public theater. You can't see much movies.
Do you get chased by
screenings?
Does TMZ chase you?
Yeah, there's nothing for them to find out. So they have nice little philosophical conversations.
Yeah. And then off they go, right?
Off they go. Yeah.
Let's go to St. Louis. Ronnie, east of the Rockies, you're on with Lou Gossett Jr. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie.
Ronnie?
As they say in New York, hey, Ronnie.
Yo, Ronnie, are you there? I can hear him breathing, but he's not there. Let's try Frank in Irvine, California, West. Hey, Frank, go ahead.
Hey, George, thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Caller.
Thank you. Go ahead. You're on with Lou.
Mr. Gossett,
yes, sir.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for being a great role model. Thank you for all the wonderful movies. And I wanted to share a story with you. Many years ago, I took a part-time job delivering pizza. And I had gone to your home pretty much every week delivering food. It was actually an Italian restaurant.
Spruzzo's.
And I had some great conversations with you. And one night, you said to me, check this out. And you dropped in my hand the World Series ring the year that the Arizona Diamondbacks had won.
You remember that?
Yep, I have it in my hand now. And I remembered to take it back, didn't I?
and I made sure to give it back.
Yeah, that's a habit on my finger now.
Oh, it's great. It was like an Outer Limits episode. I looked around going, is this really happening? And it was just such a great experience.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You are very welcome. We have an African-American president who a lot of people have taken rabbit punches at. I don't want to get involved politically with you about this, but I think what he was able to do and get elected was absolutely remarkable.
It's God's miracle. So they take rabbit punches at him, but he's like, he's like Muhammad Ali.
What did he do for the African American community when he got elected?
It's called the Audacity of Hope. He says that we can do this and we can lead, and we have to. But in order for us to do that, we have to get rid of our defects of character and assume the responsibility and grow up to be responsible and know what that freedom actually means. And he stands for his principles. He stands for. It's almost impossible for somebody by the name of Barack Hussein Obama to win Americans.
You would never think.
I'm sitting there, standing there, 45-degree angle, looking up at him with his hand on the Bible. Michelle was in the middle. The man was getting him to repeat after me, and he made a mistake, so he had to start again.
That's right.
And I'm sitting, and Cicely Tyson was standing on a chair. And we were riveted on Michelle looking at him. And he did it and repeated himself. And finally, when his hand went off the Bible and he was officially president, an involuntary thing happened to myself and Cicely. It was like a movie, fast forward. You never seen the fast forward? You see all the scenes? And all the fast forwards was lynchings, riots, all kinds of racist things that happened to us, all the way up to present time. And we found ourselves on the floor sobbing. That it was like an exorcism. Yeah. And we got up and started hugging people. I have never had that feeling ever in my life when he took his hand off that Bible and he was officially the president.
What an exhilarating feeling.
It was amazing. It's amazing.
I hope we can get that again.
We will. We will.
Yes.
From my mouth to God's ears, we're going to do that with Hillary.
Is this a prediction? A presidential prediction here?
It's not my prediction. It's from my mouth to God's ears.
I'm going to write this down and bring it up. We've got psychics who come on the show. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've got one who predicted a Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush run. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
Makes sense, yeah.
We'll see what happens. Let's go next to Maui in Hawaii. Mark is with us on the Wild Card Line. Mark, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, I am thrilled. Lou, I knew you in 1972 in Hollywood, where I just finished Obama's Life was my master's screenplay at the UCR Film School called The Preacher Man. I couldn't get you to play the lead.
Oh, my goodness.
We became buddies. And at the time, I was working with Jane Fonda very successfully and ended up on Richard Nixon's enemies list. That's why you never saw me again. COINTELPRO erased my entire career. I had over 100 scripts produced. I was a producer, condo in Malibu, BMW. Gone. So I was hired by the Jesuits and hired by Yale University. I took that job and went to China. And
well, you've had a pretty good
life now, and you are too. It's totally obvious to me. And I have a 501c3. I'll stop talking in a second. I just looked up your website. We're doing identical work. The same issues, identical. I am so thrilled. I mean,
yes,
I just
come
don't know
join
what,
the team, man. Come join the team.
I never had to get find you before. So stop talking, brother. It's so good to find
all right,
you.
So stay in touch, okay?
Join up. Join up. And what can people do if they want to become part of E-Racism?
Well, find out what we're about. And it's eRacism.foundation. There's literature. It's a big website. And it's the automatic assumption that we have to know that we cannot survive without one another these days.
Still taking volunteers, though, right?
Yes, some volunteers. We're opening up a thing called the Shamba Center, hopefully with the cooperation. And I think I'm getting a cooperation from the Los Angeles mayor. It's called S-H-A-M-B-A. A center is a... Shamba is a Swahili word meaning farm. So I'm asking for a 4 to 6 week program from the Los Angeles, and I think I'm going to get it around July or August. I'm using the Challengers Club for Boys and Girls as an example. And I'm calling for 2 to 5 children from each of the ethnic groups of Los Angeles between the ages of 8 to 12 to come to this center 5 times a week in the summer.
Beautiful.
And teach these lessons of why they need each other. And why they have to be sensitive and compassionate to one another and sensitive to cultures. So I have to know all about Cinco de Mayo. I have to know about what the word Hasarai is,
yeah,
and Shabbat. And then they have to know about all my Arabs, you know, our things, and Juneteenth and Kwanzaa. They have to know about, we have to know about all of it. And we have to be sensitive to one another at the age of 8 to 12. And when that happens, and with the experts that I have, that lines up the curriculum, then I guarantee after 4 to 6 weeks, you interview those children, and that conflict is gone. So it's called conflict resolution, which is invented by or promoted by the Pepperdine University Law School, the Strauss Institute.
Good school.
Which is number one in conflict resolution.
Yeah.
So if you get yourself together, clean up your defects of character, and you come into society with that tunnel vision of getting better and being responsible for your family and where you live, then you go to school. When you learn, you don't create weapons of conflict. You do things to make the planet healthier. You help one another. It's not what you get, it's what you give. And all of a sudden, we begin to grow in a proper way, like a tree grows in Brooklyn. And now we're getting to that place where we have all that stuff, those diseases that are happening. It's happening because we're not taking better care of ourselves and one another. And once we turn that into that direction, and the impossible becomes very possible, and that's mankind's role in the rhythm cycle of the entire planet, along with the animals and the insects, we need to be responsible for taking care of our planet.
Did they throw away the mold when they made you? And I don't mean the kind of mold in your house. I mean mold that made your personality.
No, everybody's got that mold. Isn't everybody? You just have to get rid of the garbage so they can get the message.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Cornelius, you made it through. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, you're great, and Tommy, too. Lou, God bless you and yours. I'm not too far away from Thibodaux, Louisiana. We're up here in Alexandria.
So you know about the sugar cane, huh?
Yes, sir. I know about sugar cane. I've never cut it, but I've eaten it, and it's some good stuff. I hope, and I've been trying to tell George and Tommy, y'all need to come down for Mardi Gras. You too. Laissez le bon temps rouler.
That's right. Let the good times roll. I've been there. I've been invited, but I got to go to New York, brother. I'm sorry. I got to promote the Book of Negroes, but I was supposed to go there.
Matter of fact, I wanted to know, what is that going to be like on PBS or something?
No, it's going to be on BET.
BET, okay.
It's the most brave thing, but it's gorgeous, brother. I highly recommend it. It's on 3 nights, 2 hours apiece, 6 hours altogether. I'm in hour 5 and 6. Beautiful, true story.
Oh, good, great. What I wanted to ask you was with that first caller to ask you, you're Halle Berry's father, and they're going to bring back Extend on CBS, so I'm glad of that.
Mm-hmm.
I love science fiction. And you were great in the Left Behind series, World at War.
You were actually
the first black president, so
yeah.
You were really great.
Well, who do you think taught Barack?
Yeah.
You were also Anwar Sadat.
Anwar Sadat, yes, sir.
Anwar Sadat.
That was a magic moment, too.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
This is perfect for a Black History program. I was going to bring that to your attention, so you must have been reading my mind. And please try to play Louis Armstrong. What a Wonderful World. And
wow.
God bless y'all.
Thank you, man.
Okay, Cornelius, thanks. You know, Lou, this program goes all over the planet, mm-hmm. and we get calls from some wonderful people. Cornelius, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Great Americans, but he's just a great person. You can tell in his voice that he's got a great family with him.
Yeah.
You know,
what's more important is those things we have in common, not the ones that separate us, but the things that we're together. We need to be together now to correct some wrongs.
Absolutely. The book, by the way, An Actor and a Gentleman. People get that at bookstores now? Amazon?
I got them all from Amazon. You can get it from me, from erasism.foundation. I'll send it to you. I'll sign it that way, too.
It's a great story about your life.
It's all true.
My gosh.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's all true, and it survived. It's amazing when you hear some people's stories and how they're still here, sitting here talking. Wait till you hear this girl, Aminata, tell her story in Book of Negroes.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. She was narrator.
I'll watch it here, or I'll TiVo it or something.
Yeah.
Because we're always on the air at night. We're going to come back in a minute, Lou, and wrap things up with some final phone calls here from people in Maryland, Long Beach, California, Oklahoma City, Pennsylvania, and the rest of the planet where you continue talking. Just a wonderful opportunity. And I've got to tell you, when I saw Officer and a Gentleman in 1982, I was 32 years old. The fact that you're here in my studio and I've had a chance to meet you is like a dream come true.
Oh, it's surreal. That's a fantastic
thing. Really surreal.
So I really appreciate that.
We will come back in a moment. Email me, folks, at george@coasttocoastam.com. Lou's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and we'll also put it on our Twitter feed. Well, our television program, of course, is called Beyond Belief. You can watch it for free for 10 days, maybe a little longer these days. See all kinds of shows. Simply go to this website, beyondbelief.com. That's beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Lou Gossett Jr. We're going to take your calls as well. These couple hours, Lou, go by fast, don't they?
Just like the wind, man. Just like the wind.
We had brought up Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah.
I was out there while that was going on as I go back and forth between L.A. and St. Louis. Tense situation.
Yeah.
Officer not indicted at all. They felt they didn't have enough evidence to have a trial. The community went absolutely crazy.
Right.
Rioting, looting. I don't know why they have to do that when they're upset, but that's what happened. I want your take on what you feel about that. You know, as a person who has been through it all, what would you tell people who are listening right now from Ferguson, from the St. Louis area?
Well, I can't tell them what to do. I definitely understand their emotion. I mean, you've killed my son, you know. But I also got my lesson from Mandela. thousands of people, of his friends, died the same way. It's easy for me to say, so I have to say it for what it's worth.
Right.
I can't tell anybody what to do. But I have a feeling on the black side, for example, we really are already in the promised land. Even if we're homeless, we are in the promised land, but we don't know what that means. What to me it means is that we're not African Americans anymore, we're American Africans. And with being American Africans, we have to take our neighborhood and be at its best. We have to, what will it take for everybody to come to the black neighborhood to bring their money, to eat in the restaurants, to enjoy our culture, our hospitality, and invest? What will it take for that neighborhood to be the most desirable place for anybody in the world who want to come and visit, the way it used to be? What it would take, of course, to the cessation of gang violence, the cessation of resentment. We have to be represented properly, like our president is representing us. We have to assume the possibility, the thing of voting. And when that happens and people come to that neighborhood and sit in our restaurants, then it's a little safer. And then they'll bring the businesses and they'll bring their money. And the police will back up, because then they get a different dictate, like in Harlem and like in Brooklyn and other places. Once that happens, there is a responsibility of voting and behaving as such. So what it would take us for us, if there's a fighting in the neighborhood of guns, mm-hmm. the entire neighborhood's going to go, you can't do that here anymore. You have to teach those kids, just like we said earlier, those basics that my great-grandmother taught me. Before your hand touched the doorknob, you have to have self-respect, respect for the opposite sex, the elders, conflict resolution, hygiene, spiritual fitness, and knowledge of your culture and why you're on the planet. And has nothing to do with self-seeking. So that young man did not deserve to be killed, but he didn't behave in such a way he could stay alive.
I thought of you when I was reading your book, when you were handcuffed to a tree.
Yeah.
The anger that might have been going through your head, but you contained yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't fight back. As a matter of fact, you even said, if I had done anything strange, I could have gotten shot.
Yeah.
So you held back.
There's a bigger picture.
Yep.
Dr. Mandela says there is a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is this global society cannot survive without a pure African Afrocentric philosophy of what you do benefits the whole. The whole soup of mankind does not taste half as good without our pure indulgence of the black culture. Mm-hmm. Without threat, without anger, without fear, we are needed, and then we need to teach our children that the responsibility of what it means to be an American or a man or a woman, and what that responsibility is, being responsible for your home, yourself, your family. And there's no anticipation. Now there's going to be attrition, and they're going to try and get us off the track. But our track is to teach the rest of mankind the way we started originally. Everybody, anything you do is for the benefit of the whole. And that's our behavior. Now, on the other side, the police, they used to be in very good shape. They could bring somebody down with their hands because they learned martial arts. And they also knew how to use their batons. And if that didn't work, they had a stun gun. So there's fear there. So when a young man who's coming at you at 6'7" and 245 pounds, angry, fear hits and goes to the gun. He's shot him 8 times. Two sides are wrong. We have to separate those two men and do conflict resolution, which we teach our children before the hand hits the doorknob. The neighborhood has to be the best place and the most desirable place for people to come and visit with our benevolence. And the police have to be in better shape and lose that fear. And then they have to have conflict resolution to see what's best for both.
It was the tragic perfect storm.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm. And now we have the internet. It's happened before, but now everybody knows.
Yeah.
The good thing about that whole thing is that people who object to it are multiracial and multi-ethnic.
That's right.
That's the best news. But we have to have conflict resolution if we want to get better.
And, you know, I saw the protesting, too, Lou, when I was out there. And to me, there's nothing wrong with peaceful protesting.
Not at all. Not at all.
That's what we're here for.
But we evoke fear. So if somebody's afraid of you, then you have control. You have power. And then you have the responsibility of easing that fear so that we can live together. We have the planet to save and some children to teach, which is a bigger picture than what's happening here.
Let's take some final calls here. Let's go to Ronnie. He's back from St. Louis. We lost him last time. We got him now. Ronnie, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, sorry about that. My call dropped or something.
Oh, that's okay, Ronnie. I'm glad you got through again.
Yeah, I miss you here at the Nighthawk.
Yeah. My old show.
Yeah. How you doing, Mr. Gossip?
I'm fine. I'm blessed and highly favored, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Your work, I admired your work for a long time. You crossed so many different generations. Mm-hmm. But I have a question. I saw you in a show called Long Street.
Oh, wow.
And you were working with Bruce Lee. And I was just wondering, what was that like?
Oh, he taught us all. He taught me and Kareem and James Franciscus. And we were all in the same Paramount Studios together. And at lunch, we'd study with Bruce Lee. He was playing Kato in The Green Hornet. Mm-hmm. And so he was a larger-than-life great instructor. Incredible man. He was. Wow. I think I found out now that he was teaching us something that we shouldn't have been taught. But he was benevolent. He was a great man. Great man.
Oh, wow.
But don't let the secret out that I've studied karate, because then I can't go to a bar.
That's right. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland's with us. Frank, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
You too.
Yeah.
I've been waiting 40 years to talk to you.
Oh, man, I've been waiting for 41 to talk to you, brother.
In the Lonesome Dove series.
Wow.
I didn't realize how great a horseman you are.
Well, and, I had to do it for self-defense, man.
The part you played in The Deep, I'll never forget it, with your Caribbean accent.
Yeah.
Remember you told one of your henchmen, you said, if his tongue moves, cut it. You remember that line?
Yes, sir.
And then an officer and a gentleman, you're not going to believe this. At the very moment you were in the fight scene with Mr. Richard Gere,
yeah,
Mayo, played by Mayo, at the very moment that you gave him the kick,
yeah,
to the Gorin, the lights went off, the film stopped at that very moment. You're not going to believe this.
Oh, I planned it that way, man.
We had to come back the next day. All the people said that they said, you want your money back? And they said, hell no, we're coming back the next day when they fix it.
Oh, wow.
And then your part, in extent, how does my favorite actor and my favorite actress, Miss Halle Berry, and my favorite producer, director, Mr. Steven Spielberg, how do all three of you get together on the same project?
Divine providence, my man.
My last thing, I want to see you, Mr. Morgan Freeman, and Mr. Denzel Washington in a Western, if I have to write the script myself.
From your mouth to God's ears, my brother. I'd love that to happen.
All right, Frank. Thanks. Appreciate it. Those are two great actors,
yes,
too.
Yes, they are. Yes,
my
they are.
Gosh.
Yeah.
They're great. I saw the movie with Denzel where he was the pilot.
Yeah.
And had to fly upside down.
Yeah.
Just a great role. He's got a lot of passion, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he does. He's brilliant.
And Morgan, of course, is a giant.
Yeah,
too,
that's huh? an old friend. And I think we're going to do something together.
That'd be cool.
It'd be nice.
Let's go next to Trish in Canoga Park, California, west of the Rockies. Hello, Trish. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Good, Trish. Thanks.
And thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I have this dream about the way that the world is supposed to be, and we're basically, there's only one God, and there's really only one race. So I think what Lou is doing is absolutely spectacular, and I do wish him a lot. I just know it. I mean, this has got, we've got to do something to save this world.
No, you're right about that. Accolades come in, Lou, constantly. Have you always thought this way, or did you change?
I was raised that way.
That's what I thought.
I was raised that way, and I didn't come from a black neighborhood. It was right after the Depression. Everybody was poor.
You were in an Italian community, weren't you?
A combination, Jewish, yeah. Italian. If my mom didn't get home, next door would be the Italians, and I could have some lasagna. Down the street was Menudo with the Philippines, with the Italian, or the Jews. I had gefilte fish. It didn't matter. There was no money. It was just a family and a neighborhood that needed to take care of us. We had chalk, and third base was a Chevrolet on the left.
Yeah.
And we had broomstick handles instead of bats.
I remember that.
And we were in Seventh Heaven. And that's the people that became those agents and those co-actors and those directors. And I have a manager who's the same from that same day today. We know how it used to be and how it should be again.
It was a different life then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody was poor. Yeah. But we really had a good time.
But superstars came out of that period.
Everybody
superstars.
Did. Yeah. It was just gorgeous. Barbara Streisand. That's what she came on. Woody, Barbara. You know, all of them. All these people. Arthur Miller. Danny Kaye.
Has Hollywood changed over the years?
Yes, it has.
You can see it.
Yeah. We need to rebrand Hollywood because that's where it started. We need to put that Hollywood brand back. We have to be the ultimate. We have to raise the bar the way it used to be.
I got home after work one night, and I was watching an Amazon movie where you can stream now. And it was about Hollywood. It was a movie. It was about Hollywood. But what they wanted to do was animate all the stars so they could get them on cheap. But you'd be an animated Lou Gossett. You wouldn't be the physical you. You'd be like an animation.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen.
That could happen, you know. As long as they send the check to the real person,
that's
everything
right.
be cool.
That's right. John in St. Louis.
Two S's and two T's, y'all.
East of the Rockies. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, George and Mr. Gossett.
Hi, John.
Yes, Lou, you, I really want to thank you for all your great work.
Thank you, sir.
You've been, it's easy to see that God has definitely blessed you with talent, and I hope we hear your voice out there more about what you've been talking about, because you make so much sense and you're very intelligent. I want to thank you, like I said, for all your work. And also, I had I have a grandchild. My son-in-law is African American, or I like how you put American.
American African.
I like that.
Yes.
American
like
Jew, American African, American Indian, American Italian.
And you know, we're all Americans, and so
that's right.
A great point. And you know, my grandchildren, so they're mixed. And you know, I just hope someday that we can get away from putting all these labels on each other. And I think the terminology for a long time needs to be changed, because when I hear people say a person of color, I understand what they mean, but you know, we are all persons of color.
Yes, we are.
Otherwise, I'm Caucasian. I mean, I couldn't have an artist paint me with white paint. So even the terminology is totally wrong.
Well, that race thing is going away even as we speak, because our children know what we're talking about. And all the people who are making history are multiracial already, because that seems like the growing face of America. Our kids are having a ball together. The music, the dance.
And I had one question, though. I was going to see, I can see you're definitely a believer, and do you believe how the Bible talks about, I mean, we all need to get out there and do good in the world, but there's evil in the world, and do you believe how the Bible shows that, how it's all going to come to a conclusion, and this is why we have hunger, this is why we have wars, this is why we have hate in the world.
They're all the lessons.
What the Bible says.
We have a choice to make on a daily basis. Who's in charge, and who always is in charge? It's not going to be the winner of a war, not going to be the richest person, not going to be the biggest army. It's going to be God. Some people call him another name. It's the same force. And the sooner we get to that realization and make our bodies receptive to his message, whoever it is, the better we'll be.
Lou, movies, television, you've got a book, you've got a foundation. What else are you doing out there?
Well, I'm in partnership with a man who is a genius. His name is Dr. Charles Hensley. He solved the SARS crisis in Hong Kong, the bird flu.
Yeah, I remember.
And then he's got a product in the pharmacies called Zicam. And now, if you have a migraine headache, and he's called me to be the spokesperson, a thing called Migranade. It'll be over the counter. You'll see my ugly face in there pointing to it. If you want it in the not too distant future, Migranade will be around the world.
Migranade for people.
Migranade.
Good for you.
And this man is a genius, and he wants to be with me. That's God's gift to me and God's gift to him. We've become brothers, and he's the best.
Super. Let's go next to first-time caller Bob in Pennsylvania. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Oh, well, it's an honor to talk to both of you.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
All right. Quick history. 1953, the Levitt brothers and their father built Levittown, PA.
That's right.
And you're familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Well, they didn't sell to African Americans. And in 1957, there was a big controversy when the first home was moved into, you know, by African Americans.
Yeah.
So, in other words, my point is I grew up pretty much segregated.
Yeah.
And in high school, was maybe 12 out of hundreds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early 80s, you really brought it home to me. You bridged the gap. You were my first favorite, you know, actor. Especially with Enemy Mine.
Oh, wow.
My God.
That was a great philosophy in that story. Thank you, sir.
You got to make that sound again.
I can't imagine anybody else taking that role.
Yeah, but nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it.
I'll be Dennis Quaid. So, Jerry, you're pregnant.
Well, then nobody's perfect.
You're going to have a little baby.
Well, I was wondering if you were aware of the fact that you had that effect on people.
Well, it is a humility factor because it's better than work. It's a gift I got, and it's a pleasure to be alive, to do that thing for the benefit of the people. And the feedback I get gives me a better life.
When did you realize, Lou, that with what you do, you really do touch lives?
It's nice. It's an age-old practice of bringing the news and entertaining people. It's part of society since the beginning of time. And it's nice to have that gift that, and recognize that's what it is and try and enhance on a daily basis and get that feedback everywhere. And it just comes back everywhere. It makes me feel very good.
You seem hopeful about humanity.
Yeah, I do, because I think God is in charge all the time. There's going to be attrition, but I have a feeling everybody wants to have peace of mind. And there's some steps. I'm joining another organization to do those steps and teach others. So it's not what we get, it's what we give.
Favorite role you've ever had?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one.
I know.
I've got quite a few. The Sadat, Enemy Mine.
Great job there.
Fiddler.
Great job there.
And Officer and Gentleman.
Great jobs all over.
Yeah, but I've had some great ones. I'm very fortunate. Iron Eagle's another.
You've, as I said in the beginning, you've made us laugh, you've made us cry, you've entertained us. You keep doing what you're doing.
I'm going to try. I'm getting some friends now. I'm partnering with the United Nations and the City of Los Angeles and the Brothers Keepers Program and the Anti-Defamation League, the NAACP, Corps. They're all jumping on the bandwagon.
Good for you. Good for you. And any help you need with your foundation, you let us know.
You will be here.
More than happy to
Especially everybody out there, because it's all our situation to take care of this planet better. Everybody can eat. Everybody can live. We can get on with this.
All right, best to you.
Thanks. Back at you.
Lou Gossett Jr., folks. And again, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. What a wonderful person. His book, an actor and a gentleman. And let me tell you, creme de la creme on both, actor and a gentleman. We'll be back.